from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Matchup, the North Shore Tavern Leadoff Show with Dan Zangrilli starts at 6:45 and can be heard right here on 93.7 The Fan. Headlines powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. For more, check out 93.7thefan.com.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We go out there now. That is where we find John Ledyard from the Audibles and Analytics podcast, also the Yins No Ball podcast. Donnie Football with you here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, in for the guys on this gorgeous Labor Day. John, I apologize. I said 250 for you earlier today. I got you in 10 minutes late, but I guess I'm just learning after the guys I do work with pretty much every single day. So my apologies there, taking you away for a few minutes on this Labor Day. We went through our AFC predictions, basically how the divisions would file out and who would make the playoffs. I do not think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a playoff team in 2024. I think there's a better chance, or not a better chance, I think there's a chance they are a better team, but they won't get some of the luck that they got in 2023. Is that fair or foul to say that?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I completely agree with you, actually. I think that they're definitely a team that I think defensively can be, last year they were surprisingly competent, especially toward the second half of the season. Now, I think a lot of that had to do with facing backup quarterbacks and some teams that were in complete disarray, but they took care of business when they needed to. This year, I think the pieces are there for them to actually be a more dominant defensive team, both in terms of takeaways and sacks. They always have found ways to create pressure, but they just haven't had help. I mean, somebody's missed time each of the last couple of years for them on that defensive line, and so I think if they can have the full group healthy, they have more depth. I think it can be the best front in the league, to be honest with you, especially on passing downs. I think the questions will come in whether their depth in the secondary gets tested or not on that side of the ball. But on offense, there's just so many questions, and starting with the offensive line, that, yeah, it's easy. It's everybody, oh, they upgraded a quarterback, so they must be better. Well, last year they weren't very good at quarterback and still won 10 games. And so, you know, how much of that is like an automatic just, oh, you're going to win more games because your quarterback happens to be more competent, when before you won games, even though they wasn't competent. And so I think that there is a possibility that while they improve at that position, it isn't meaningful enough improvement overall to actually make a difference in the win-loss column. So we will see if it bears out that way. Also, it should be noted, the AFC North a lot healthier, at least going into the year. We'll see. Anything could happen during the season. But you would just expect the AFC in general, which was decimated by injuries last year, to be a lot healthier, and that contributes to the luck factor you're talking about for the Steelers too.
Do you think Omar Khan got conned by Brandon Ayuk? Do you think he and his agent just totally played them this whole time?
No. I think Brandon Ayuk absolutely wanted to come to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and if the Pittsburgh Steelers had made a real offer, I think that it might have happened. We'll see. Of course, at this time, San Francisco's like, no, we only wanted a wide receiver back if we were going to make that trade. Obviously, I'm sure they wanted that, but when he didn't want to go to Cleveland, he didn't want to go to anywhere except Pittsburgh, he didn't want to go to New England, well, okay, what's on the table at that point in time? We heard early on in the process that he didn't want to go to New England or Cleveland. And so we knew, and we heard Washington pulled out, so we knew they were still at the table with the Steelers, listening to those offers, knowing that the Steelers were not going to trade a wide receiver. They were not going to trade George Pickens, basically, in that trade. So they were still at the negotiating table, but the Steelers just never made a real big boy offer. You know, they instead offered day two picks and, you know, that some combination of those things. They wouldn't trade a player. They wouldn't trade a high caliber pick. And so, yeah, you're not getting one of the best wide receivers in the NFL in his prime without giving up a real asset. And so, because I think Omar Khan in some ways played himself, I think he thought that he could get the 49ers, basically, he thought he had all the leverage and could get the 49ers into a corner. Well, he doesn't want to play for you and he doesn't want to play for anybody else. But Ayuk absolutely wanted to come to Pittsburgh. He wanted to be a Steeler, and it just didn't work out because the Steelers didn't really make a real offer. Now, if they had made a real offer, the 49ers still may have said, nah, kick rocks, we need a wide receiver, like even a first-round pick and a day two pick's not good enough. We still need a wide receiver in this deal. This still isn't going to make us better this year. That's what we care about. We'd rather go ahead and pay Ayuk more money. They still may have come to that conclusion, but we will never know because the Steelers didn't do that. They tried to offer day two assets for one of the best wide receivers in the NFL in his prime, and it shouldn't be any surprise that that wasn't enough to get the job done in the end. So it's a fine place to start in negotiations, but part of being a good negotiator is realizing when you have to up the offer and that the Steelers or the 49ers were not going to move him for that type of a return. They would have rather let him rot and not sign at all, I think, for that type of a return. And so that is where I think the Steelers messed up and screwed up in this specific negotiation.
Now, John, as per usual, when you put something out there on social media, you get pushback on whatever it may be. So when the Ayuk stuff happened, the back and forth that was on social media, a lot of the pushback from Steeler fans would be like, calm down, bro. Give Van Jefferson a chance. He'll show you. Will he show us, John? Do the Steelers have a much better player than what 2023 showed us?
I don't think so. I think he can operate within the context of an offense fine. I don't think he's like the worst wide receiver you've ever seen in terms of being detrimental to the team. Like you think about a guy like Darius Heyward-Bey, and you remember when he was playing, or some of the guys the Steelers have brought in over time. And it's like, okay, well, those guys, you know, they were there are times they would contribute negatively to the offense because of drops and mistakes and route running, things like that. And so it really, I don't think that's going to be Van Jefferson's biggest issue. So in some ways, I don't think he's going to be like a fan, like, you know, somebody who's hated by the fan base and that kind of stuff. But I do think that he is just, when it comes to skill and talent, teams are going to try to play the Steelers, I think, in a way they're going to try to match up with them, play a lot of man coverage. And I think they'll even send some pressure and hope that the Steelers aren't going to have enough guys that can separate before Russell Wilson has to get the ball out. So I think that's where you'll see his limitations show up more than anything. He's just never been an awesome athlete. And so there's going to be times in which he's not schemed open, that he struggles to uncover 1v1. However, I think he's like a competent player. I don't think he's like a totally incompetent person. This passing attack is already limited as it is because of quarterbacks and protection. So I think more than anything, it's just you miss the opportunity to add a game-breaking type of player who doesn't need all the pieces around him to be perfect in order to succeed. And I think for Jefferson and for the other guys too, you're more likely in a situation where you do need a lot of those other pieces to be great to him to succeed. So if the line was great and the quarterback play was better and the system was great, I think Jefferson could be a competent player. But because of the deficiencies around him, I think it's going to make it you put even more onus on him for him to be special. And I just don't think he's that type of player.
Talking to John Ledyard from the Audibles and Analytics podcast, also the Yins Know Ball podcast, so would suggest Steeler fans get on that one. John, you mentioned having concerns with the offensive line as well. What are some of the highlights of your concerns?
I think just the general inexperience of the group. I mean, that is just a part of it. It's not necessarily a long-term concern, just the reality when you're starting probably two rookies and a player who, you know, hasn't really been able to settle in one position in his second year, who was very raw in Broderick Jones. I think he was very raw as a prospect, which is one of the reasons why I was pretty cautious on him as a prospect overall in my evaluations. I think that whenever you're relying on a group like that, the inexperience factor is a very real one against opposing defenses. I also think just the fact that they haven't been able to settle in one position, a lot of these guys, makes it a lot more difficult too. And so we will see as players move around. I think somebody had a report the other day, I can't remember who it was, that if Siamalu had missed significant time or missed the season, that Fautanu may have played left guard. And it was just kind of like, oh my goodness, like they're really not going to let these guys settle in at any one position. And I think that that's a lot harder than most people understand, especially switching sides of the line of scrimmage. So already you've got Fautanu switching positions, you've got Broderick Jones switching sides even now, and after being a left tackle in college. And so it just brings up a lot of questions and concerns about what this group will look like. Then we'll see if McCormick's in there or Spencer Anderson when Siamalu does miss the next couple weeks, it sounds like. So that part of it, just the moving pieces, the fact that nobody settled or experienced the communication factor is required to play offensive line. Individually, I think they have plenty of talent, but offensive line is much more about cohesiveness as a unit, communication, things like that. So I think Zach Frazier, for example, is going to be a big upgrade. Is it going to matter because offensive line is such a weak link position group that if there's an exploitable player, defenses will find him and exploit him? And I think for the Steelers' offensive line, you may have two or three of those, at least in the early going, in pass protection. The run game, I think they have a lot more. Like there is, I think they can do some good things in the run game ultimately, but still the moving pieces factor and the inexperience, I think, will still play out with some mishaps and inopportune times too.
A league-wide question for you, John, before we let you go. Does anybody knock the Chiefs off of that perch, or do they look at back-to-back-to-back, a three-peat of Super Bowl championships?
And it's pretty tough to see somebody being able to do it. I mean, the Texans are our best bet, right, just because the ceiling could be high. Like, if anybody's trying to get it done this season, I think it's the Texans, just because they could be the next great head coach, you know, quarterback combination in the NFL. Could be D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. You look at the roster and the pieces that they added in the offseason, they just went out and were so aggressive while they still have Stroud on that rookie contract, and just the players they brought in, whether it's Stephon Diggs, who doesn't even have to be the wide receiver one there. Like, he doesn't even have to be their second-best wide receiver there probably, and with the depth that they have and having Tank Dell back from his injury, and you look at the offensive line and the way that they short up pieces, that is a really good group. The defensive line, bringing in some of the players they brought in. Danelle Hunter, obviously, I think can be a real difference maker, even better than Grenard was a year ago. So I just think they have like all the pieces, really. Like, they are stacked as a roster. Like, there's not many question marks. I think two rookies start in the secondary. I like those guys, though. I think they can be seamless fits. So I think Houston's the best bet. It's just, how quickly does C.J. Stroud get to a level like that? Is there some sophomore slumpage? The defense is throwing some challenges that he has to figure out. But, I mean, Baltimore's just flawed. Like, nobody wants to talk about it because everybody just – the analysis of preseason of Baltimore every year is so just boring, I feel like. Nobody wants to talk about them. But look at their offensive line. Look at some of the players they're trying to replace with guys who haven't played or have been limited earlier in their career. And it's just a very questionable unit. I think the receiver room is still very questionable, and I like Zay Flowers. The rest is a giant question mark or just not very impressive based on what they've done in their careers. And I think that their secondary is also pretty thin. They're going to probably have to rely on some young players there too. And losing Mike McDonald and how much pressure he's schemed up, they don't have a lot of great individual rushers up front. And so with losing McDonald, you lose a lot there. I think they've got a lot of questions. The vibes in Cincy seem so bad, as talented as they are. They're probably another one that has the higher ceiling floor type of thing. Like, they could miss the playoffs and you just be like, well, the vibes, and they can't stay healthy, or they could win the AFC and I don't think you'd be surprised. But my guess is it's going to be one of those teams if somebody does it. I think the East is down and the rest of the West isn't ready yet. So my guess is it'll be one of those three teams if somebody does, but I would bet on the Chiefs pretty heavily.
John Ledger, check out his stuff, Audibles and Analytics podcast, the Yins No Ball podcast. John, thanks for taking the time on this Labor Day.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
There we go. John Ledger, a really good football X's and O's guy. If you don't follow him on Twitter, I would highly suggest you do so by the time we reach the regular season, you're going to want to. That is at Ledgered NFL Draft on Twitter, and he joined us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, couple of minutes away. What will happen in the NFC? What do those playoff teams look like? Sean and I will also unveil our Super Bowl matchup coming up in just a few minutes. Fan text line. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This is Sean.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You should just have this music go the whole way, just underneath us.
For the rest of the show.
Some night moves. Bob Seger. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Taking you up until the North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli. Sean Myers with me behind the glass. Okay, last hour, we went through our AFC division predictions, the teams that we thought would make the playoffs. So, Sean, just to recap, I'll give my 1-7 first on the AFC if you still have yours.
I'm going off the top of my head, but I think I got it.
My 1-7, the Texans, the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Jets, the Ravens, the Dolphins, and the Bills. We had some key differences, I thought, which was good because that's what you want in an exercise like this. So, Sean, recap your top seven.
Oh, man, now I'm forgetting. All right, so I went, what did I do? I think Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, Jaguars.
Yes, that sounds right.
Bengals, Dolphins, Jets.
Yes. I was going to say, I remember your wild card teams. So there we go. You saw some differences there. Now we jump to the NFC, and then at the end of this little exercise, we will also give our Super Bowl matchup and prediction if we have that ready to go. We will start with the NFC East, where we have not seen a repeat division champ in 20 seasons. That tradition will keep on going because the Cowboys, here's my big take out of that division. The Cowboys will miss the playoffs in 2024. I think the Philadelphia Eagles get back to the top of that division. I think the Commanders have a surprisingly pretty good season with Jaden Daniels, and the Giants, they will be the cellar dwellers. They will end up cleaning house, I think, after the 24 campaign. So I have the Eagles leading the NFC East, Sean.
I do as well. I was close between them and the Cowboys, but I'm leaning Eagles. I think they have a bounce back year. I think the Cowboys take a little bit step back from where they've been because they've been a great regular season team. And then, yeah, the other two teams, I think, are not very good. Commanders will be better, but still not good. And then the Giants won't even be close to good, I don't think.
NFC North. I think this could be a really fun division. My champ is not the team that won the division last season, but I think we could see multiple playoff teams out of the NFC North. I do buy into the Jordan Love hype. Not quite enough to make him my MVP pick. That did go to CJ Stroud. But the Green Bay Packers are my pick to win the NFC North. I think they could be one of the best teams in football. Then I have the Lions finishing behind them. Then the Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams. And then the Minnesota Vikings, who are in a very bad spot at quarterback with the injury to McCarthy. Not that I loved him anyway. But I don't know what Sam Darnold will be able to do against some of these teams in the NFC North.
All right, so you said Packers, Lions, Bears, Vikings?
Yep.
First time today we're on the same page.
Wow, all four in that order.
Yes, and I do think the Packers will be a terrific team this year. I don't think the Lions will fall off significantly, but I don't think they'll be quite as good as they were a year ago, so I have them finishing as a good second-place team.
Yeah, I think they will be... I mean, I'll just give a little peek behind the curtain. I think the Lions, kind of like how you had with Cincinnati in the AFC, I think they will be great as a second-place team in that division. I think they'll be the top wild card while being better than a couple of the teams that won their divisions. The NFC South, this is probably the worst division in football. I think we can agree on that. I think the team that the Steelers will see on Sunday wins this division. They are the favorites to win the division. New head coach Raheem Morris, new quarterback Kirk Cousins. I just think the rest of the division is that bad. The Buccaneers, that was a cool story last season. I hope that team is solid again. I don't think they'll be as good. So the Falcons I have winning it, the Buccaneers I have finishing in second. I think the Saints and Panthers have a chance to be really bad, the Panthers especially. I think the Saints have a chance to be like a six-win team. So that's really a division with two teams that are like solid. I don't even think any of them are necessarily good or great. But the Falcons win that one for me.
I think we might be on the same page once again. I have the Falcons winning it. I have, really, to me, it's almost a toss-up between second and third, Bucks and Saints. Panthers are last. So I'm going to say the Saints will finish second, Buccaneers third, but it's really not going to matter because those two teams are not going to be good teams.
We get to the West. Sean, you are a San Francisco 49ers fan. I'll let you take this one first. I'm assuming you have your favorite team winning this division yet again.
They got Brandon Ayuk back. There's some good vibes, but I do not have them winning the division. I have the Rams finishing
really?
In first place. Yes. To me, if you remember when they lost to the Chiefs in 2019, the next year kind of was a disaster. I have an ominous feeling that this year's not going to go as planned. They're not going to completely tank, but I actually think the 49ers will be surprisingly below where everyone expects. People are saying they're going to cruise through the NFC. I don't see it like that. I don't even think they win the division. So I have Rams first, 49ers second, Seahawks, Cardinals.
A great non-homer take, Sean. A great one. You being the 49ers fan that you are, because I am one of those naive people that thinks they will run through some of the NFC and their division. I think the Rams are a playoff team, but I think they are in a somewhat distant second place to the 49ers. I think that San Fran wins that division. I think the Rams come in second. I think the Seahawks take kind of a sad step back because people love the Geno Smith story. That's been one of the best ones in football the last couple of seasons from an individual player standpoint. I think they fall back to a team that's like 7-10, 6-11. I don't think it's a very good first year for Mike McDonald in Seattle. And then I think Arizona, again, just like a 3-4-5 win team, even with Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe they show some slight improvement, but I don't think all around they are very good. So to recap, I have the Eagles, Packers, Falcons, 49ers winning their divisions. We matched on three of these, Sean. You also have the Eagles, the Packers, and the Falcons, but you surprisingly have the Rams beating the 49ers. Now, are the 49ers still a playoff team? How do those wild card seeds get dealt out?
Yes, they are. They, the Lions, and the Cowboys will be the three playoff teams. So three teams that were awfully good in the regular season last year, all division winners a year ago, will make it as wild card teams this year.
I have a surprising wild card team in here. So the Lions are also a wild card team. The Rams, as I teased to, are a wild card team. The number six seed in the NFC playoffs.
Can I take a guess?
Go ahead.
Chicago Bears.
Yes, they are. The Chicago Bears. I actually think, and I get, it's very easy to root against Caleb Williams. Some of the quirks and just the hype that he has, it just automatically makes it, oh, I hope this guy's
a flop.
Dom
started all that hype, I think, didn't he?
Oh, he thinks Caleb Williams, like right now, is like the third best quarterback in football. I think he takes him over everybody except for Burrow and Mahomes.
Just imagine if Caleb Williams and Mike Tomlin were together in his eyes.
They would never lose a game. The Steelers would go undefeated, perfect seasons for the rest of time if that combo ever took place. So, yes, I have the Bears making the playoffs as a six seed. I have the Lions making the playoffs as a five seed. Now, here's where it gets fun, Sean. When you jump ahead to the Super Bowl, those two teams meeting up in that big game for me, it is a wild card team from the NFC. It is a division winner from the AFC. In fact, it was a game that we got very, very close to seeing in 2023. We saw it kick off the 2023 season. I think we get it in the big game this season, the Lions and the Chiefs, and the Chiefs pull off the three-peat. One of the reasons behind that, I'm at the point with Kansas City, I'm going to wait until a team actually does knock them off the perch. It's kind of like the Mike Tomlin no losing seasons. I'm going to wait until it actually happens because it seemed like last year that was when they were poised to be taken down. They had those kind of sloppy, borderline lazy-looking games in the regular season. People said, oh, Mahomes doesn't look the same. This offense doesn't have the same juice. They have to go on the road in the playoffs. That won't work. Mahomes won't be able to win road playoff games. And he did, twice. And then they yet again willed their way to the Super Bowl. So I'm taking the Chiefs to do it again. I think this is a last ride of sorts. I think Kelsey's done after this season, maybe a couple of others, who knows. I think he's definitely going to highlight the retirement tour
Andy
of 2024.
Reed?
Maybe. I think Kelsey, though, is like a lock. If they do, I really think for him, this is it in general. I think they're taking one more crack at it, and win or lose, I think Travis Kelsey hangs it up.
And then he'll be doing a run-in at WrestleMania?
Yes, it'll be awesome. And we may both be there to see it. Who knows, Sean, depending on how things shake out.
I did not run down the pecking order. It doesn't really matter, but I have the Packers as the number one seed out of the NFC.
I have them as my number two seed.
And so I actually have the Packers going to the Super Bowl, and they are going against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think Joe Burrow, he's the guy out of anyone in the NFL that I think has a chance to knock off Mahomes in the playoffs.
He's the only active quarterback that's beaten him in the playoffs. The other one's Brady.
Yeah, and so you say, I'm not going to pick against the Chiefs until someone actually does it. He's the only guy that's done it. And so if he stays healthy, which is a big question mark, I think this could be his year.
Then the winner of that game.
Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, you're going to get intern Dom all riled up on that, too. I hope he's in class and not listening. He's going to need to be excused. So you have, that's what I had last season, by the way. I had Cincinnati winning, knowing that I would jinx them into not winning, and it worked out.
So people could thank me if Cincinnati has a terrible season again. Yes. And everyone gets injured.
Yes. Coming up, it is our college football minute. Some of the highlights from college football this weekend: Pitt, Penn State, WVU. Also getting into some of the big, big games that took place. We'll get into that coming up next. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. A little bit over an hour from now, Nick Faribault will join us. 2 hours from now, Noah Hiles will join us. You can join us as well. You can hit us up on Twitter, which is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's Donnie Football on 93.7 The Fan. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday. Hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Donnie Football in for Pony and Chris on this beautiful Labor Day. Weather is just about perfect out there. Sean Myers with me behind the glass. That music means it is a college football minute. Sean, I don't know how much college football you took in over the weekend.
I spent 6 hours watching one game. So, I mean, Penn State WVU took up most of my Saturday.
Because I wanted to start there. Two of the local teams in action against each other. Penn State in Morgantown against West Virginia. There was, what, a two and a half hour lightning delay? Is that what it ended up being?
Yeah, I think it was close to 2.5 hours when it was all said and done.
And I thought Penn State legitimately, and I'm not a Penn State guy, people know this, they were one of the most impressive teams of the entire weekend. Because that game, it was about a touchdown in terms of a spread. Penn State was an 8.5 point favorite going into that game against West Virginia. The thought was WVU will keep it close, and obviously, given the Vegas standards, lose by about 8 to 9 points. But it would be just outside of a one-score game. It would be a single-digit type game, was the expectation. And Penn State dominated them. Drew Allar looked very good again. Harrison Wallace III, that was a player that I had Joe Smeltzer on last week from Nittany Sports Now. That is who he highlighted as like the next big Penn State wide receiver. He said there's been a bit of a void at that position in that offense, and he looked great. Aller looked great again. Singleton had over 100 yards on the ground. That game was not even a contest. Like, they came out, I wouldn't say firing out of the gate, because it did take a few drives for each offense to get going. But Penn State did not let the lull of that delay mess them up. They made it look easy.
I was very impressed. I expected a close game, and for those who follow Penn State, they remember in recent years they opened on the road at Wisconsin, at Purdue, won both those games really at the wire. It came down to making a big play in the final moments. I thought that would be the case again here against WVU. Even though I thought the Mountaineers were a little overrated, it's just you don't expect to go in and dominate on the road in your first game. And the initial drives did concern me a little bit because Aller didn't look great. He fumbled, I think, like the first snap to him. But he got a lot better. I'm confident that he will take a step forward. And then some other things. They got Singleton back to the explosive plays that were missing a year ago. Trey Wallace, as you mentioned, I think will be a really good receiver. The line, which had to replace a lot of talented guys, looked good as well. So there was a lot of positives to take. That said, Aller's best passing game last year was against WVU.
Right.
So I'm not going to get too hyped. I saw him last year and thought, this guy's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. And I think we found out that the secondary for the Mountaineers is probably their biggest weak point. So I'm not going to read too much into it, but certainly they passed the test with flying colors.
If only he could play West Virginia every week and then he'd win the Heisman.
I texted Crowley, by the way, after that. He did not respond to my text. So hopefully he's doing okay.
I'm sure he's fine. He also got clowned by Friermuth on Twitter.
Penn State fan Adam Crowley.
That was pretty good. I wonder when that was from. Pitt also winning on Saturday. You heard that game right here on 93.7 The Fan. A 55-24 win over Kent State. Eli Holstein, his debut, 333 yards. He has officially been named the starting quarterback for this team per the Too Deep, the depth chart that got sent out ahead of this week's game against Cincinnati. That game is at noon on Saturday. You can listen to that right here on 93.7 The Fan. Pregame coverage starts at 9 a.m. So Holstein with a nice debut. But the story that got taken away from that Pitt game was when I'm seeing people tweet, and I'm even texting a couple of people about it, they showed Kenny Pickett at the game, and he got booed at the Pitt game. Here is why I'm not a fan of that. If it is a Steeler game, completely different story, because whether or not you want to believe it, he worked his way out of Pittsburgh after the signing of Russell Wilson. Whatever that story was, that should be off the table when it comes to him being shown at a Pitt game. Because if you are at the Pitt game, you're presumably in Pitt fan mode in that instance. And, I mean, if you're at Pitt-Kent State, you're definitely in Pitt fan mode. This man brought Pitt its best season in 40 years. He brought Pitt back to, at least for a brief time, national relevancy. If the expanded playoff had existed in Kenny Pickett's final year at Pitt, Pitt would have made it to the college football playoff. They won the ACC. He was a Heisman finalist and was legitimately worthy of it. So I always do say I'm normally consistent on this when it comes to, hey, you know, you're the paying customer. You do whatever you want as long as it's not over the line. You know, you're not throwing things at people. You're not getting too, you know, carried away with the words you use. I normally don't tell people when not to boo, but I will say I was not a fan of it in this instance here.
So I first thought that he was actually at the game, but they just showed his picture on the screen, right? Am I correct in
well,
that?
Well, I actually don't know for sure now that you bring that up.
Yeah,
for some reason, I thought he was there because
yeah,
there were no
I thought
NFL
so because it's like the NFL. Yeah, so if that was the case where it was simply like they had him up on the screen or whatever, I would hope if he does come back to the game in the future that he would get a much different ovation in person. Because, again, if he was, you know, getting booed to his face while he's standing there being recognized, that's kind of harsh. And Pony made a good point. He made the analogy that Tyler Boyd is not the most popular person among Steelers fans because of some of the stuff he said.
Oh, yeah.
But he thinks that Boyd would and certainly should get a good ovation in terms of what he accomplished for the Panthers.
I think he would. I mean, and that is somebody who has actually called out the Steelers for quitting.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't see that as any, you know, better than what Kenny Pickett said when he left. And, you know, so I would say recognize what they did for your college, especially Pickett, because to your point, he gave them reached heights that they had not seen since, you know, basically Dan Marino era.
Another thing I wanted to jump in about with the College Football Minute is Dabo Swinney overrated? Sean, is his time pretty much coming to an end at Clemson? He is like in refusal of using the transfer portal. You know the only other three schools that did not take in any transfers?
Service academies.
Yes. Army, Navy, and the Air Force. And then Clemson. You're supposed to be a national power. You're supposed to be a blue blood. And I can understand when coaches aren't the biggest fans of the transfer portal and NIL. We know that Pat Narduzzi is not huge on the big changes to college football. That doesn't mean he has just completely shunned that out from the plan. You have to be able to adapt. And Dabo Swinney just doesn't think he needs to do so. And boy, did they get beat up on Saturday. Not that I expected them to win that game against Georgia. I thought it would be a couple of touchdowns that Georgia won, like a decisive win, maybe not a blowout. I mean, they lost by 30 points. And that was the really one top-tier team that you looked at in the ACC. Now, I mean, now Miami's going to make that jump. Miami dominating Florida on Saturday, 41-17. I feel like Dabo may get exposed a little bit here because he had his years with Deshaun Watson, who was a terrific college quarterback. He had those years with Trevor Lawrence. Now it ain't so easy because he's got to play a little bit of a different game, and he doesn't want to do so.
I don't think he was overrated for what he accomplished during their best seasons. And by the way, I mean, you mentioned those great quarterbacks, but he had a major part in getting those guys. But he has not evolved and adjusted, and it seems like the game has passed him by. And probably at this point, they should consider moving on if he's going to continue that mindset.
Adapt or perish, Sean.
Yeah,
that's what they call evolution.
Parrish seems more likely at this point for Dabo at Clemson.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Visit Sun Chevy on Washington Road in McMurray or sunchevy.com. A beautiful Labor Day holiday. Sunny, a little bit cooler. A high of 73. Coming up, a little exercise I wanted to do when it came to the Steelers season, the Steelers schedule. Just going based on quarterbacks, how do the Steelers stack up with what they will face this season? That is coming up around the bend, about an hour away from Nick Faribault joining us as well. Noah Hiles joins at 5:30. We have anything here? I do have to throw it. All right, coming up, we're going to do the game-by-game Steelers schedule based on the quarterbacks, but right now, Pony has a message for the people.
Happy Labor Day, everybody. It's Adrian Filippone back to talk to you about my good pals at McVeigh Plumbing. Leaky faucets, hot water shot, clogged drains. Big problems, small ones, they do it all. And they are honest experts at McVeigh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Make them your go-to plumbing company. They do it fast, they do it reliably, and they do it affordably. You get upfront pricing, honesty all the way. There are no surprises when they present you with the bill. So I want you to remember this. When there's a plumbing problem, call the local plumbing pros at McVeigh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling today or visit callmcveigh.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking. striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.